Today's passage comes from James 4, 13 through 17. James 4, 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. This is the word of God.
All right, good morning. I think I've said this before, but welcome. I just want to echo what people have been saying. If you're visiting us today, welcome to Great Commission Community Church. I hope you can kind of connect with the church, people here. If you're coming back for a second or third time, welcome back. We're so glad that you're here with us. Much has been done already. We kind of received a pastor, and we're sending off our brother Curtis. But I do want to get into God's Word kind of briefly. But let's go ahead and do that. We've been going through the book of James this summer, and we talked about how James is a book of application, right? So the topics that James addresses are simple and relevant to us. He talked about our anger, you know. He talked about our wealth, you know. He talked about our suffering. I mean, all these things are things that we actually deal with, you know, every day of life. And today he talks about planning for our future. And if you kind of think about that, all of us pretty much all the time plan, don't we? some of us are better than others, right? So for instance, in our household, my wife is better than me at planning. You know, and I'm sure some of you here have friends who are good at planning, and we need people like that. This past week, we had Pastor Carl kind of join our pastoral staff, so our staff got together, and we just kind of planned the whole year. We had our administrator with our Google documents, and we had Pastor Philip. If you know who he is, he got his spreadsheet out. He had like actually formulas put in there, and so we kind of knew where each pastor was going to be doing what every Sunday. We kind of had to do that because we have two services now, and we want to offer different classes, and we have, you know, different training that's happening. So we need to kind of make sure that each pastor knows exactly where he should be when. So we kind of did all that. We planned our preaching schedule. You know, we planned out our guest preachers come during the missions month schedule. We planned out everything, and it was fun. It was great. It really was fun. It was fun. It was great. We prayed obviously afterwards or beforehand. And so we need these type of planners, and these things are good. But what James says is this. He says that there's a way to plan for our future that's evil, and a way to plan that honors God. Our planning can be evil, James says. It could be arrogant, but it could also honor God. So that's what we're going to talk about. My simple outline is this. Boasting in our plans, foolishness of our plans, and then surrendering our plans. Okay, those three things. Boasting of our plans. If you have your Bibles with you, just jump down and look at verse 13 with me. James says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Now, on the surface level, you look at this verse, and it seems like James is talking to people who are planners. They are thinking ahead about where to go, what to do to make money, make a living. And in this context, James is most likely talking to merchants who had to go to different places to sell their products to gain profit and gain money. But when you look at the language, when it says, come now, it's actually a rebuke. James is rebuking these people who are planning. Right? I mean, so how does that fit? Planning in itself is not bad. Actually, it could be good. If you remember, when Jesus called his disciples, he talks about planning. He says, you need to, before you follow me, you need to plan ahead. You need to count the cost of following me if you want to actually become my disciple. So even Jesus talks about how thinking ahead, planning is a good thing. So what is Jesus, what is James here then talking about? Why is he rebuking these people who are planning and looking ahead? If you jump down to verse 16, this is what he says. He says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now here, the word boasting means putting your confidence in something or rejoicing in something. So this is what James is getting at. Planning itself is not wrong or evil. We kind of need to do that. If we don't, it's kind of being foolish. But what James here is talking about is when you plan and when you begin to place your confidence in your planning or in your future plan to give you a sense of security or significance, well, then that's boasting. So what James is saying is, not planning, but when you begin to find your confidence, placing your confidence in your planning, that's arrogance, that's boasting. Jeremiah chapter 9, it says this, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. So Jeremiah is saying this, Jeremiah is saying, those of you who have experience in things, you're wise, you have wisdom. He says, don't place your confidence in that. Those of you who have position of power and status, he's saying, don't place your confidence in that. Those of you who are wealthy, that through your financial means, you can actually have future security, you know. He's saying, don't place your confidence in those things. If you're going to boast, if you're going to place your confidence in anything, James is saying, or Jeremiah is saying, put your confidence in knowing God. The fact that you know God, that's where your confidence should be, right? And so, James is addressing putting your confidence in your plans, in your strategizing or making plans. And he says, if that's you, that's foolish. So that's my second point. Let's look with me, verse 14. He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So here's what James is saying. James is saying, if you are putting your confidence in your future plans and not in God, right? You've made plans for your future and that's where your confidence lies. If that's you, James is saying you're being a fool. And he gives us two reasons why. One, he says, no one knows what tomorrow holds. Right? What he's saying is, he's saying, even if you can plan, you can be diligent in your planning, and you can figure everything out, you have a problem because you cannot control what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? None of us can. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like for today, some of us will go and have lunch. Great. But you don't know exactly what's going to happen after this worship service is done. James is saying, if you begin to place your confidence in your future planning, you are a fool because none of us, no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Our family, we take one kind of week-long vacation every year in the summertime for the kids and for them to kind of connect with, I guess, cousins who live far away. So this past, about 2 weeks ago, we had planned to have my brother-in-law's family fly out from California, five of them, land in D.C., and then we're going to go up to Delaware for a family wedding, and then we're going to drive down to Busch Gardens and Virginia Beach, okay, to hang out for about 4 days, and then we'll come back up, a week, right? And that took a long time to plan because we had to worry about my brother-in-law's schedule. We had to figure out our kids' schedule. I mean, it's a lot of coordination. It finally happened. We planned where we're going to eat and sleep and all these things. But, you know, to be honest, I was in my heart praying that God would give us good weather. Because what happens if you go to Busch Gardens, you know, and bad weather? The rides, I think they close down the rides. And what happens if you go to a beach and, you know, the weather's bad? It's not as fun. And so it shuts down everything. So we, in my heart, I said, man, we need good weather. And praise God, we had good weather. But the point James is making is James is saying, no matter how hard you try to plan, there are certain things that you cannot control. There's a book called Outliers that was written by Malcolm Gladwell. He writes for The New Yorker. And, you know, in this book, he interviews successful people, basically. And he talks about, you know, what makes them successful. Right, and part of it is, you know, you need to practice, you know, like 10,000 times. You need to do it precisely if you're going to gain certain skill set, you know. But he also talks about how no matter how hard you try, there are things that you cannot control. So he studied all these successful people, and he basically, one of the things that he said was, there's certain things that's out of your control. You can't control certain things, like your birthday. I mean, he talks about how Canadian hockey players, the most successful ones, were born in the month between January and March. And he gives the reasons why. He talks about how some of the most successful people in the technology industry were born in there, I think, okay, could be wrong. You could double check, okay, in 1960s. And so he talks about like the culture and when you were born and where. And he also talks about disappointments in life and circumstances and opportunities that you had that you cannot control, that fuel these people's success. And that's kind of what James, I mean, and this person is just a secular intellectual, right? And that's what, it's common sense, but that's what James is saying. James is saying there are certain things that you cannot control. So if you place your confidence in your planning for the future, then you are a fool. Now, when the Bible uses the word fool or foolishness, this is what Bible is not trying to insult you. But what Bible is saying is that Bible is talking about specific people. The people that he's talking about, the Bible talks about, is people who are blind to the realities of God. So when we place our confidence in our future planning, our plans for the future, the Bible would say you are a fool. Because you're blind to the realities of God. And the Bible talks about how if you take hold of that, if you live foolishly, you will eventually make terrible decisions in life. I mean, that's one of the themes in the book of Proverbs, right? You are a fool, you don't recognize the realities of God, and you begin to make wrong decisions. James here says, you're not going to know what's going to happen tomorrow, so it's foolish for you to place your confidence in your plans in the future. The second thing that he says here is this. He says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now, James is saying that, you know, when you go out in a cold day and you breathe out, you see your breath for a second and it disappears. That's the picture that James is giving us. He's saying your life is a mist. It appears for a second, then it disappears. There's nothing more fleeting than that. Nothing more. You can't hold on to that at all. It appears and then it vanishes. And that's what James is getting at. James is saying, if you place your confidence in your planning, you fail to recognize that your life is a mist. You're living foolishly. And that's why in Psalm 90, Moses prays this prayer. He says, the years of our life are 70 or 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. And then he says, God, so teach us to number our days right so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. That's what James is saying. If you plan and you place your confidence in that planning, you are a fool because you don't recognize the brevity of your life. How short your life could be. Now, if that's your mindset, this is how you will live. You live like this. You constantly think that you could do that tomorrow or next year. Or when things settle down, you can begin to do things that maybe you know you should be doing. And that's what James here at the end says, for whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. If we are living foolishly and we're putting our confidence in our future planning, we're planning for the future, James would say you're a fool And he says that's arrogance and it's sin. You're always thinking, you know, you recognize maybe God's kind of calling you to do something, or there's an opportunity for you to serve or share your faith with someone. And you kind of think, you know, I'm really busy now. You know, I think I'll wait until things settle down. Or, you know, things are really chaotic, really hectic. So I'm going to wait until next year, maybe when my job situation gets better. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to serve at the church. And you think, you know, it's really hectic. It's probably not a good time. I'm going to wait until things are right. What James is saying is, if that's your mindset, you have the wrong view of life. You don't recognize that your life is a mist. It comes and disappears. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul, the Apostle Paul says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of your opportunity, for the days are evil. Are you making the most of your opportunity right now that God's given you? You could do that if you understand that tomorrow is not certain and your life is short. It flies up. I mean, Moses, Psalm 90, if you think about it, that's pretty amazing. He's saying, you know, we will live probably 70 to 80 years. Then he says, but most of our lives is filled with toil and problems. But that's what Psalm 90 says. And then he says, one day, they'll disappear. And then he says, we will fly away. And then he says, so help us to number our days right so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. That's what James is getting at. Now, I've told you this before, but James looks to the book of Proverbs a lot to gain his material. We heard from our brother Curtis. I remember a year ago, you know, he came back from his trip to Spain. And it was our, I guess, skills team that came back. They went, served, and they came back. And I know he met with Pastor Philip. And don't worry, Curtis is not a holy guy, okay? There's a lot of things that's wrong with him. And, you know, some of you who know him, you know his tendencies and whatever. Okay, so I'm not trying to lift him up, but since he shared, I will kind of add on to his sharing, okay? To give you a fuller picture. Curtis came back, you know, after the trip to Spain, his first trip to Spain, and I remember having a lunch with him, and, you know, we just talked about how God was kind of leading him, and how he met, I think, Pastor Philip, and Pastor Philip kind of, you know, asked him this question, hey, Curtis, would you consider maybe the possibility of returning back to Spain, right? And I remember during our conversation, he did mention those two things, right? He said, there are two things that's kind of on my heart. One is marriage, finding the right spouse, which is huge, right? Not that huge, but huge. And the second thing is finances, right? Like, you know, student debt and all these things. So we talked about that, and we prayed, and, you know, and then after, maybe a month or so, we connected again, and he was kind of, so I asked him, you know, how are those things? And he just said, you know, I surrendered those things to God, and, you know, I decided to go, something like that. When I hear that, you know, when I think about that, I mean, I think that's kind of applying this passage, I think, is recognizing that our life is short. It'll come and it'll go. And it's making the most of your opportunity that God's given you today. That's wisdom. That's biblical wisdom. It's being open to who God is and how God operates. And that's what James is calling, or James is warning against those people who are only thinking about or planning the future and putting their confidence in their planning. There's this tendency to always push back and say, I could do that later. That's not what James is talking about, right? He's saying, be wise about the work of God. Be wise about the realities of life. You can't control tomorrow. And recognize that your life is short. We will all fly away. If you really think about it, 100 years from now, no one's going to remember you. It's sure, you'll go and you'll live and you'll die. The perhaps someone who accomplished great things in our generation, the greatest humanitarian who served multiple people. 100 years from now, their work will be gone like everyone else's. It's really able to see life from God's perspective and able to surrender our plans, our future to the Lord. I mean, that's wisdom, and that's what James is getting at. And how does that look like? And that's my third point. I'm going to give you three things really briefly. One, that means, well, let me read this verse for you. I'm going to read verse 13 and then jump down to verse 15 because they're kind of connected. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there, trade and make a profit." Verse 15, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Three things briefly. One, James is calling us to simply remember God. He says, instead of making plans and placing your confidence in that, he's saying, you should say, if the Lord wills. What is he saying? He's simply saying, remember God in your planning. It's the easiest thing for us to forget God in life. We go to sleep, we wake up, go to work, do our work, we eat, play, study, go back to sleep. We could do that over and over and over again without remembering God. And James simply saying, remember God in your planning. That was the message that God gave to the Israelites. Israelites, you know, came out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And as they were coming out, and as they were settling down, Moses would repeat this command over and over and over again to them in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, do not, when you settle down, when you prosper, when you're successful, when you build houses and when you're in your families, do not forget the Lord. Remember the Lord. That's his message. But what happens throughout the book of the Old Testament? Well, they forgot. They forget the Lord again and again and again. James here is simply, as you plan, again, planning is not wrong, right? But as you plan, James is saying, remember the Lord. Make sure that he's in it. Make sure that you're depending on him. Make sure that he's at the center. Make sure that you're thinking and praying about how God might be leading you. Because we all know that God's plans are better than our own plans. James is saying, remember God, if the Lord wills. Second thing, he's saying, remember God's grace. He says, if the Lord wills, we will live. You know what he's getting at? Right now, all of you, including myself, the reason why we're here, the reason why we're breathing right now is because of grace. Because of grace. Right now. James here says, if the Lord wills, we will live. Right now, every breath that we take is from the Lord. And James is calling us to remember God's grace. Jonathan Edwards says, he says he often tells himself that everything in life is grace. So this is what it means. When some of us get disappointed in life, when we look around and we see other people succeeding, maybe we had dreams and hopes and they're not really coming together. And there are setbacks in your career and you know, things are not happening like you've envisioned. Take a step back and say, yourself, everything is grace. Everything is grace. That means any small good things in your life is a gift from God. That's what James chapter 1, he already talked about that. Every good gift is from above, from our Father of lights, right? Every good thing. Did you plan and did you work hard? Absolutely, yes. But ultimately, the gift from God. If the Lord wills, we will live. Remember the grace of God. So today, that helps me when I get frustrated or, you know, I don't know exactly what God might be doing. You just pause and say, everything I have, everything I know is grace. And you know what happens? As you think and meditate and speak into your life, you know, there's more joy, there's more thankfulness, there's worship. It's grace. The friends that you have, you know, the job that you have, even though it might be hard,
the relationships and the your church and where you live, and I mean, all these things, it's grace. Right? Remember grace. Lastly, thirdly, James calls us to remember God's providence or God's sovereignty upon us. He says, if it's Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So James is saying, you can plan, and planning is good, right? We should be planning for the future. But what he's saying is, don't place your confidence in that, but place your confidence in God who sees you, God who leads you, God who is sovereign over your life. That's where you should place your confidence. And if you can do that, you know what happens? Is there a sense of confidence and peace, right? Because you're planning hard, and we praise God for the planners, you know? You're planning for the future, planning for next day, you know, next year. Those are good things. But ultimately, you plan and you trust in God, right? It's, you know, the Bible would say it's 100% your plans, but it's 100% God's kind of providence over your life. So you plan, but you recognize that ultimately at the end of the day, God's sovereign over you. And that, friends, gives us sense of peace. Now, if we don't have that, what happens is you become extremely anxious. You plan and you try to figure things out and you try to make sure that this is right and this is going well. What happens then is there is turmoil and anxiousness in your heart. James is saying, plan diligently, and yet understand and know that God is in control, that God's sovereign. I want to end by just kind of reminding you this. Some of you here might be, you might be kind of planning your life, and along the way, you just got so busy that you forgot God. You forgot to include God in your plans. Right? You forgot about God. You neglected God. And if you think about that, being forgotten is not a good feeling, right? I mean, if you had a meeting with someone and they forgot about you. Or someone threw a party and they forgot to invite you. How do you feel? You feel belittled. You feel disrespected. You feel insignificant. The Bible says that's how often we treat God, the creator of the universe. We often neglect God. We often belittle God. But the good news is this. Even though we forget God in our planning, God never forgets us. He never forgets us, and that's the great news. And the way we know that is we know it because of the gospel. Remember when on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten about me? And God never answers. You know why God forgot about Christ? You know why God forsook Christ on the cross? It's so that he can guarantee you and me that God, our Heavenly Father, will never forget us. See, on the cross, Jesus took our sin of pride, our sin of arrogance, and he took that on himself. He gave us his status of sonship, daughtership, being a child of God. And the Bible reminds us that even a mother, even if mother forget a child in her breast, Isaiah says that God will never forget you. And that's our hope, friends. Some of us, we might have neglected God, forgotten about God in our planning, but God did not forget us. He's still sovereign over our life and our planning. And I want to encourage us to come back and center your life on God. And as you plan, surrender your plannings to him. And recognize that everything that you have is grace. Okay? Let's pray, and we'll close our time. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we confess that oftentimes we make plans for ourselves apart from you. We plan and we place our confidence in our planning or in our plans for the future. We confess that oftentimes we live foolishly, thinking that our life will last for a long time, or the opportunities that we have now will be there maybe next year. We confess that these are foolishness, for we are being blinded to
your ways of life, your realities. And so, Lord, we want to return back to you and have you at the center of our life. We want you to lead us, for you know what's best. I want to pray for those of us who are struggling and maybe confused about what you might be doing because things are not working out right. We pray that that we might look around and look at our life and say, everything is grace. All that we have, our very life, comes from you. So we want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to thank you. And we want to adore you and live for you. Pray that you would help us to do that, both as individuals, but as a church, that we will surrender and make the most of the opportunity that you've given to us. So we surrender these things to you, Jesus. We thank you that you are good when we are weak. Thank you that you are strong when we are weak. So we entrust ourselves to you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll collect offerings, so we'll ask the ushers to come up. This is a way for us to respond to God's grace upon our life, recognizing that everything is grace. And so we'll offer our tithe and offering to Him as we worship Him through our giving.